ultimately, the thing is, like, people come to a meetup and the most important thing that they want to feel is safe. I think more than they want to feel accepted or feel like, you know, they're able to flirt or to make friends or to get knowledge or whatever. People want to feel safe first and foremost. If they don't feel safe, then they're not going to be able to get any of the other wonderful things that you can get from going to a meetup or connecting to a community.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're going to polyamory finishing school. Etiquette and deportment. Pinky out, find a husband. What is this copy that you've written for me?
That was what finishing school was for.
I know that, but was to find a husband. What is this copy you've written for me?
I don't know. I guess I was just trying to... you got punked.
It's like Anchorman.
Something like that.
Okay, great. Polyamory finishing school. We're going to learn about etiquette, because connecting with the polyamorous community is an important first step on someone's journey. So we're covering the things that will give you an advantage at your first polyamory meetup. This includes tips about how to interact, as well as ways to ensure you'll have the best possible time and set yourself up for success.
Our listeners may not know this yet, but it's Em's birthday today on the day that we're recording. And so she's not here. She's kicking it up in Paris at the moment. And that leaves the two of us just to record the episode this week.
Yes. Well, happy birthday, Emily. So let's talk a little bit about like the inspiration for this and kind of what it's all about here.
Yeah, well, I think... You know, when I have like a lot of people who come to me as clients or as friends or as acquaintances or whatever, who are brand new to polyamory or non-monogamy or any kind of non-traditional relationship, and they have all kinds of questions like, how do I do this? Is this the right thing for me? How do I meet other people who are polyamorous? How do I go on dates? How do I, you know, yada, 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 yada. And I know on this show and in my own coaching practice, I often encourage people to find some kind of in-person community. Especially if you're brand new, it's just really nice to be around other people who've been doing this for a while, who have been both succeeding and also making mistakes and learning from them, where people can support you, can answer your questions, you can see all kinds of the different variety of ways that people do it. And it's just really good to put yourself in that environment to be able to connect with other people, get support, and also have a sense of like, is this for me or not? So that means that we end up sending, I think, a lot of people who are brand new into these kind of meetups. And the thing is that it's not, I was going to say it's not like your everyday meetup, but I don't even know what your everyday meetup is.
I guess it depends what kind of meetup it is.
Yeah, exactly. So you may be heading to a discussion group, a processing group, maybe just a hangout. There's a lot of polyamory communities that just do like, let's go hiking, or let's just have a potluck, or let's just watch some movies together.
Or like poly cocktails is a popular one too.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's kind of just a mixer just to get to know other people. Could be something like a cuddle party. I mean, I know they have more official facilitated cuddle parties, but I've also seen kind of more unofficial cuddle parties at retreats or at meetups, you know, where people decide that that's just, you want to kind of just have a cuddle puddle at this particular meetup. Could be a workshop, could be basically any kind of social situation, but within the context of the fact that what's bringing you together is the fact that you are interested in or actively involved in some kind of polyamorous or non-monogamous relationship dynamic.
Right. And what we're realizing is, both from seeing other people do this and remembering back to doing it ourselves, is that there's not a lot of social situations that are similar to these kinds of meetups, unless you're going to other similar things, right? Like if you're going to like a sex positive discussion group and then you go to a polyamory discussion group, there's probably going to be a lot of overlap in what's expected of people, how people behave, things like that. So you might have more of a sense of that. But if that's not something you're already involved with, there's a lot of stuff that it's funny. Coming up with this list was a little bit difficult, and I definitely asked around to a lot of other people because it becomes so second nature after a while. But remembering back to being like, gosh, this was all new and different at one point. And so we wanted to put this together specifically for those of you who do want to start going to these kinds of events. And, you know, we want you to be invited back to these events, right? We want people to be excited for you to come to these events. And so this list is not a comprehensive list by any stretch. But we want to include some guidelines to make it so that at your first meetup, you can, number one, don't fuck up. Number two, don't freak out. And number three, have a good time.
That's good rules for life in general, really. Don't fuck up, don't freak out, have a good time. Easy, done.
Yes. So those are the categories that we have divided things into here. And these will apply, like I was saying, whether it's a polyamory meetup or a sex positive meetup, even if you go to play parties or something more sexual, a lot of these principles and rules still apply. Because even though polyamory is not specifically about sex or about kink or about, you know, swinging or any of those things, those communities tend to have a lot of overlap in their sort of rules and social norms, specifically as a way to help keep people comfortable and keep people safe.
Right. I was just going to mention that these communities often tend to be a little bit closed or, you know, semi-closed or a little bit protective for very good reasons. First of all, the fact that, like, you know, not everyone who's going to a polyamory meetup may be able to be out in their normal lives about what's going on. So just the fact that they're coming in the first place is quite vulnerable. And then on top of that, especially if it's a processing group or a discussion group, people are sharing very vulnerable things. And ultimately, the thing is, like, people come to a meetup and the most important thing that they want to feel is safe. I think more than they want to feel accepted or feel like, you know, they're able to flirt or to make friends or to get knowledge or whatever. People want to feel safe first and foremost. If they don't feel safe, then they're not going to be able to get any of the other wonderful things that you can get from going to a meetup or connecting to a community. We've definitely seen a lot of horror stories. Like, we've seen a lot of people, unfortunately, have to be, like, disinvited from processing groups or have to be kind of quote-unquote taken care of. That sounds really dark. Not like give them, not like put them in cement shoes or anything like that.
They had to be disappeared.
You know, but as in, like, we got to go send the admin of the group to go talk to this person and tell them to, like, not do this behavior or ask them to not come back again, you know, and obviously that's not fun for anybody because especially, you know, sometimes for people, like, a meetup or a discussion group is the only community that they can turn to, or it's the only source of other like-minded people that they can talk to. And so unfortunately, like, if someone makes a mistake or they, you know, they kind of ignore some particular etiquette unintentionally or intentionally, makes someone feel unsafe, then suddenly they're cut off from what may be their only source of community, which is just, like, kind of sad for everyone. So that's why it's time for finishing school. So kids, get out your books, put it on your heads. It's time for polyamory finishing school.
I feel like music should have kicked on.
I know,
right there,
right? We need some kind of, like, harpsichord music. Like, what's, like, princess music?
Yeah, no, I think definitely some, like, a nice, like a, you know, like a, what would be a good, maybe a something by Pachelbel or
yes,
Brahms,
yeah, yes,
or
yes,
something
definitely.
Like a nice, like a waltz maybe with some harpsichord in there, a nice little, like, chamber, small chamber orchestra.
Yeah.
Anyway, just imagine that.
So imagine
right
that.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So.
Okay. So yeah. So earlier when we listed those three things, don't fuck up, don't freak out, have a good time. That's actually our categories for today. So we're going to be tackling the category of don't fuck up. And a nicer way of saying don't fuck up is care for others around you.
Right. So like we were saying about the importance of making sure that other people feel like you're safe and that you're someone that they want to spend time with, this is what that is, right? Is don't fuck up. Don't get yourself disinvited from an event or make people uncomfortable so they kind of stay away from you or, you know, don't invite you to the other after parties or whatever. I don't know what it is, but this is the don't fuck up category. So Some of this, for some of you listening, some may be really basic, while others may be surprising, or, oh, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. I never thought of it. Or for you, this could all be new. It depends, you know, where you are in this community, how much you've interacted with it. So we're just going to get on going on down the road. I lost it there.
Yeah, I lost the train. I think, like, what would you do in finishing school? You'd, like, I don't know what you'd do in finishing school. You'd, like, put on your high heels and get on down to the tea party or something. Okay, I'm going to drop it and just actually jump into it.
Drop it like it's hot.
So when you go to a polyamory meetup or a sex positive meetup or something like that, especially if you're brand new, it may be the first time that you're around people who are polyamorous. It may be the first time that you're around people who are openly of a variety of different sexualities, maybe openly pansexual or asexual or demisexual or anything like that. It may be the first time that you're around people of a variety of gender identities. And so, because of that, it's very important to be mindful of those identities and to be as respectful as possible. So, for instance, things like people's pronouns. I know some polyamory meetups that I've been to, like when everyone goes around and introduces themselves, they clarify which pronouns they use. Not every meetup does that.
And even if they do, if you're at a meetup with like 50 people, I often am like, wait, what?
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to remember anyone's names or pronouns. So this will probably come up in conversation.
Right. So if you find yourself in a situation where you misgender someone or you use the wrong pronoun and they correct you on it, it is good etiquette to apologize. But you also don't need to make a big deal out of it. You know, often the case with this, you know, I mean, this is just kind of like the best metaphor that was explained to me is that it's when someone corrects you on something like this, whether it's a pronoun thing or a language thing or whatever, it's think of it like a friend telling you, hey, you have a little bit of spinach in your teeth. And, you know, kind of the same way you'd be like, oh, thank you, and I'll go take care of it. You know, you acknowledge it, you don't make it into a huge deal, and you also don't start arguing with your friend, hey, no, I don't have spinach in my teeth, you're lying.
Jeez.
Well, I think that's how people respond to being corrected on language sometimes, right?
I suppose so, yeah. But I think this is a big one that I guess I think we're already taking for granted on this episode that you respect the fact that people might use pronouns for themselves that you might not have picked for them, and that might be a new thing for you. I think probably for a lot of our listeners, that's not that new a concept. But it's just to keep that in mind that I think the other thing, we've had a number of guests on the show who've said essentially something to this same extent, but just like, if you're someone who uses especially a non-traditional pronoun, you know people are going to fuck it up. Like, that is a part of your life, unfortunately. So as someone else, to be respectful of that, do your best to remember what pronouns they prefer to be used for them. But if you mess it up, it's just like, ah, right, I'm so sorry. And then correct yourself. And that's it. It doesn't have to be any more discussion than that.
And also, if you're not clear, it is okay to ask in certain situations. If you can do it in a very, again, in a not big deal kind of way, often you'll find people will appreciate being asked in the first place.
And I will say that the way to ask that is to say something along the lines of, what are your pronouns? Mm-hmm. What pronouns do you use?
Yeah.
Rather than saying like, so are you a she or a he or they or
just made my stomach like, turn.
Exactly. Yeah. So just ask. What are the pronouns that you use, right?
Yeah.
Okay, next. This one is, like we were saying, people may come at you with, but they may respond, you know, when you're talking with them with all sorts of labels about their sexuality, about their gender, about their types of relationships, things like that.
Well, I found some meetups, again, kind of with the introductions thing. Sometimes, you know, if it's a meetup that does introductions, people will launch into their whole, you know, I'm bisexual or I'm pansexual, I have two partners or I have a primary partner or I just opened up my relationship. You know, sometimes people will give a little bit of history.
And so I wanted to say first, if this is a community that's new to you, some of these terms you're just going to be like, what? Like, I've never heard of that. But the good news is that as you become more familiar with the terms, they become easier to figure out, right? That we've had times where someone's talked to us about this semi-porous polyfidelitous commune that they lived on. Those are words that none of us had ever heard in that sequence together. But because we're familiar enough with these terms, we're like, okay, I have maybe a rough idea of what that means, but, and this is very important, and this is the second rule here, is don't assume that just based on the label that someone gives to describe themselves, that that you understand what that means. Because, for example, it could be something as simple as saying I'm polyamorous. That might mean something very different to you than it does to me, than it does to Yolanda, or whoever it is, right? Like, we all might have a very different meaning for that. Or it might be similar, but we don't know until we have more of that conversation. And the same goes for even something that you might think is more, like, should be a universal meaning, like something like bisexual. Mm-hmm. You might think, oh, bisexual, I know what that means. You have sex with men and women. That might not actually be what that means for that person. They might have a different relationship to different genders. They might actually not think of things in a gender binary, but don't like to use the term pansexual. They prefer bisexual because it's more understood, right? Like, there's a lot of nuance that could be going on there. So this rule is to just not assume. If someone says that they're hierarchical or non-hierarchical or non-monogamous or open or bisexual or any of those things, don't assume that you know exactly what that means.
And don't assume that based on a person's relationship status or orientation, that you can tell whether or not they're available or not.
Yeah.
I've seen that one happen a lot.
We're going to get to that even more a little bit later in this too, but yes, that's a good one.
And related to that, you know, if you are socializing with someone, it's great to ask specifically, so how would you describe your relationship orientation or your style, like, to, you know, give a more in-depth description of like what it is that they value, what it is that they actually practice. Because again, bearing in mind that we have a limited number of words in the English language in general, and not everyone defines the same word the same level the same way, label the same way. So it is okay to be curious about it and to ask for clarification.
Yeah, I did want to say too, I really like the wording of this particular question of just kind of conversationally, like, how would you describe your whatever it is, right? Your relationship, your orientation, your identity, whatever. Because it's not saying, so what are you or what do you do? Or it's not, you know, trying to get them to put a label on themselves. You're just saying, how would you describe it? Which really just means, please describe it to me. I want to know. It asks it in this way of saying, I respect the way that you choose to describe yourself, and that's what I want to know. So how would you describe your ex? I really like the wording of that question.
Yeah. Kind of along the same lines, asking someone, it's better to ask more open-ended questions like that, of like, how would you describe, or, you know, things like that, rather than saying things like, oh, do you have a primary partner? Do you have a secondary partner? How many partners do you have?
I can't
even tell you the number of times I've gotten that in like professional interviews also.
But
instead, along the same line, like, if you want to ask, say like, well, what does your relationship landscape look like? Possibly, I don't know, to be totally honest, I'm kind of a little bit torn about the idea of being so upfront and asking someone what their dating situation is.
Well, yeah, I think this definitely depends on context.
Yeah.
Right? That if it's just like, hey, my name's Jace, so what's your relationship landscape look like? Right? That's like, it's because I want to trim your hedges, you know?
Oh, dear.
It's going with like a landscaping.
I see. Like, I kind of want to put down some sod, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Do you have a landscaper at the moment? I don't know. Gosh. Anyway, bad metaphor. But more after you've asked the question, you know, how would you describe your situation? And they say, oh, I'm, you know, non-hierarchical, demisexual, polyamorous, sapiosexual. And you're like, okay, cool. And maybe you talk more about what all those things mean to them. And then maybe during that conversation, you could say, oh, so, you know, what's your relationship landscape look like? How long have you been doing this? Maybe put it in with some other questions rather than just like, hey, I just met you. How many partners do you have?
It's also, I don't know. I'll be totally honest. I'm kind of coming down on more the side of like, if it's important for you to know, this person will tell you.
That's a good point too.
You know, that's, yeah. But yeah, anyway, But if it comes, just I think the important takeaway is like kind of avoid the questions of like specifically like, do you have a primary or do you have a unicorn or what's your number? What's your exact number of partners? Because you need to report it to the polyamory board of directors. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So moving on, another tip is if you brought someone with you, if you brought a friend with you to a meetup, if you brought a partner with you to a meetup, if you brought multiple partners to a meetup, always make sure to have just some periodic check-ins, you know, even if it's just a simple, you know, just a potluck and hanging out and having a discussion, just make sure that they want to continue, that they still want to be there. And especially if you're in a context where there is any physical contact, if it is, if it happens to be a meetup like a, that has a cuddle puddle, or if there's any sexual or nudity component to the meetup, again, this is not every polyamory meetup by any means, but definitely a lot of sex positive meetups will, just, you know, always have check-ins with the person that you brought to make sure that they're still there, they're still having a good time, they're still feeling comfortable. Jace and I come up with secret signals. I think that's a great thing to
I was going to bring that up, yeah, that it's worth talking about just having like a little bit of a pre-talk about what your signals are or possibly a code word or something like that, right? It could be anything. Like your code word is that... you're going to say that, you just have to respond to a text from your grandma or something, right? So you could be in a conversation and go, oh, all right, my phone buzzed. And then you can say to your friend or your partner, oh, I have to go respond to a text to my grandma. And they know, oh, shit, that's the, like, I'm having a really bad time. I need to get out of here code word. Or I just need a moment code word. Or it could be, hey, I need you to step outside with me and, like, talk with me and help me through this, right? And you can come up with things. We've done like a number system before where you can just kind of check in and like hold up a number of fingers for how you're doing. And it's like, you can number it however you want, but like three's like, I'm having a great time. Two's like, I'm all right. I can stay if you want to stay. And one is like, please get me the F out of here. Right. But you can come up with your own system. But I definitely have found it's such a relief having that in place beforehand, even if you don't have to use it, because then you know that they're not wanting to and you're missing it, right? I think it takes a lot of anxiety off, even if you're not using it, because you know it's there.
Right, right. So the next one, it's, I mean, I feel like this one could be an entire episode, honestly, but these things come up a lot in discussion groups or processing groups, where maybe more in discussion groups than processing groups, where maybe someone says to you that they were hurt by something that you said. And maybe it was intentional or was unintentional. Maybe it could have been any number of these things that we're telling you to not fuck up on. Maybe you accidentally fucked up on. All of us have in the past. And so maybe somebody got hurt. The best rule of thumb, especially if this is your first visit to a meetup, is to focus on acknowledging the hurt and apologizing and making it better before you rush in to defend yourself.
Well, can I clarify real quick about making it better? It's just the making it better. I would exercise some caution in that phrasing, just because I think what I see is someone will say something, someone else will be hurt by it, and they'll express that. And then the first person says, well, what I actually meant by that was this. And they think they're fixing it, when the way that feels to the person who is hurt is that you're either that you're just trying to explain it away, that you're defending yourself, or you might actually be saying the same thing or more of the same thing that offended them in the first place without even realizing it, because maybe you haven't spent the time getting to the bottom of what it is that really affected them. So just don't like apologize and say, I really had no idea. That wasn't my intention. I'm so sorry. If you want to talk about it more, I'm open to that, but you don't have to. Right. Of that, of like, don't try to fix it in the way of like explaining it.
And I think also if the situation is such that like you feel like it was just so ridiculous that this person got hurt and that you're expected to apologize and like there's just no way you can jive with that, this group may not just align with your values, you know. That may be an indicator that like, I mean, I would say still apologize and don't try to like make yourself right or turn it into a big thing, but that just may be an indicator of like, okay, like, you know, I feel a particular way about certain issues and this group kind of seems to value different things. So maybe this is just not the group for me, and that's okay.
And honestly, like if your decision is, okay, this isn't a group that I want to be a part of, leaving that group by still doing the right thing and apologizing and being polite about it and not being defensive about it is still going to work out better for you. Like, mm-hmm. there's no scenario where being defensive or trying to explain yourself will work out to anyone's benefit. So just don't. Just don't.
So we're going to get into a little bit of a subcategory here, which is physical contact. And now, of course, there's so many resources on the internet for, you know, guidelines and etiquette for specifically like play spaces, cuddle spaces, sex parties, things that are definitely very focused on we're going to be contacting each other physically and probably sexually. We're not going to go into a whole comprehensive list because there's definitely a lot of resources out there about that. We're just going to cover just a couple simple ones that you may come up against when you're going to a meetup. The first one is before any kind of touch, ask for consent. That means a hug. That means even casually touching someone's arm or touching someone's back. The best rule of thumb is to avoid it or ask at the very least. And it's just honestly, even I've found that like so many times when I ask someone if I could give them a hug, like they give me so many points for asking in the first place.
Yeah, totally.
So it just shows like you're savvy, you get it, you're a safe person to be around, you're not going to violate anyone's consent intentionally or unintentionally. So it's a good, easy way to just demonstrate that like you're cool.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one, is asking before going in for a hug or handshake or anything like that, of just saying, would you like to shake hands or hug? Just asking the question before going in for it. Yeah, it just wins you so many points because people are like, oh, cool, this person gets it. Especially if they know that you're new, they might be like, oh dear, like I've had other experiences with new people to this who felt like, oh, everyone's just down to get down here, and so I don't need to ask these things. And in fact, you have to ask them more. And I think that because there is a lot of overlap, like I was saying before, between, you know, play parties or like kink fetish events, as well as polyamory events or other sex positive events, because a lot of the people cross over between those communities, and some events will incorporate, you know, multiple sides of that, right? Like a lot of kink events will have a lot of polyamorous people at it because there's overlap in those communities, or a polyamorous event might have a lot of people who are in the kink scene, right? That there's going to be a lot of overlap. So a lot of these things apply across those, but in all of those communities, things like this will take you very far of just asking. And if you do, you know, just not even thinking, and like you put your hand on someone's shoulder or their back or something and you realize it, go, I'm so sorry, like, is that okay? Or would you rather that I didn't? And if they say no, say, thank you for letting me know, so sorry. Or if you say, would you like to have a hug? And they say, actually, I'd rather not be touched right now. You say, like, thank you, I really appreciate that you know that about yourself. Make it into a compliment about them, because ultimately it is. It's scary to say no to somebody. And we should be praised for that, rather than like, oh gosh, I'm sorry. Because then they feel bad because they hurt you for trying to just take care of themselves. And then the next one we want to talk about here, in a related way, is that, okay, so some polyamorous events might be more of a social mixer sort of thing where, you know, it's still in a public space like a bar or something, but people might be making out, or they might be, you know, talking sexy with each other or something like that. Or it might be an event that does have like a clothing optional area and is more of like a sex positive event, or maybe has naked cuddling or just cuddling in general. That
I mean, usually, like, just to give people a sense of like how this actually manifests, I mean, most of the meetups I've been, like, if it's at somebody's house and they have a hot tub, then hot tub's clothing optional, right? But, you know, we're going to have a discussion group first where you must have your clothing on, essentially. Like, that's how it seems to manifest in a lot of spaces.
Right. Okay, but so the rule here is that just because something may be allowed at an event and maybe you're doing something with someone at the event there who's into it, and you're both consenting adults and you're into it, keep in mind that you're in a social situation, you're in a group, and just because the two of you might be enjoying what you're doing, someone else might not be okay with that. And so it's important to realize whether there are maybe established spaces for this, if it's any kind of sexual contact, especially, or nudity. Someone may be very uncomfortable just that you're standing there next to them in the kitchen naked because there's a clothing optional pool outside, right? Of like being respectful of those things and just being aware that just because something's okay in general or okay in one place doesn't mean everyone's going to be fine with it. Another example of this is if you are someone who's more in the kink scene and maybe you and a partner or someone you've just met who found out you have, you know, similar like BDSM roles that you play might talk to each other using certain language that to another person would be very offensive, but to you two it's not. And this could be, right, this is a whole range of things. It could be racial slurs. It could be just sort of master-slave sort of talk. Right. It could be, you know, just calling each other names or things that in a normal situation would be very offensive. But for you, this is hot. It's part of your play. But to the person standing a few feet away who can hear this could be really upset by hearing you do this. So just kind of be aware of the situation and not assume that just because you've met someone who's into this means everyone there is okay and comfortable with it. Because you might think you had a great night and really connected with someone, and then you might be asked not to come back because someone else was made really uncomfortable by you.
Right. Yeah, it's just the main thing to bear in mind that consent becomes kind of this bigger thing when there's people around you. Even if you're not touching them, you know, they still need to be consenting to be around your sexual activity or nudity or whatever.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamAndEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI, at AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
Okay, so we just finished our first semester in poly finishing school is the don't fuck up semester. I don't
Does
know how they break
school
up.
School have semesters? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how finishing school breaks up their school year or even how long you're supposed to go. But anyway, we're going to move on to our next semester here, which is don't freak out, which is another way of saying take care of yourself when you go to a meetup.
Yeah. Okay, so these are going to be a little more things to help you feel good while you're at an event and to get along well with any partners that you might bring or things like that. So let's get into it. Number one here is if you're going to go to a polyamory event with a partner, again, especially if you're both new to this, but I would say just anytime this is a good one, is to check in with them before the event and to find out how they would like you to refer to them, right? Do you want to be called partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, person I'm dating, or just your name, right? And it's good to have this conversation beforehand because, you know, you don't want someone's feelings to be hurt. Because maybe go in and say, oh, you know, maybe you've just started dating recently, and you go in and say, this is my boyfriend, Jim Parsons. He was just in an audiobook for Marlon Bundo. And, you know, you're introducing him, and then, you know, later he's like, whoa, like, boyfriend, like, geez, like, you feel like you're kind of claiming me here. Like, I'm not really cool with that. Or imagine another scenario where you go in and you say, ah, this is Jim, and you don't give a label. And then later he's like, what? Like, you didn't, like, weren't proud of, like, being my boyfriend? You wouldn't want to just use that word? So it's better to clarify beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And along those lines, if someone asks you about your partner or your friend or whoever it is that you brought, maybe they're asking, well, what kind of relationship landscape do they have? Or mm-hmm. are they available? Or are you okay if I go flirt with them or whatever? The best response is to say, you can go ask them. I mean, you don't have to be a dick about it. You can just be like, I think it's probably best if you just go talk to her about it or go ask him about it, rather than trying to speak for your partner, whether mm-hmm. it's, oh yeah, totally go flirt with them when they're like, oh gosh, this person's not totally like not my type at all. Why would you do that to me? Or if you're like, no, you can't go talk to them, which is just weird and controlling.
right.
Just, you know, the best thing is just direct people to go talk to that person face to face.
And I will say that even not for something as direct as that, but even just kind of generally asking opinions or how people think about things, or, you know, say someone's talking to you about your experience with non-monogamy or what brought you to it so far, and they'll say, well, what about your partner? You know, what's their experience with it? And you'll say, you know, you should probably talk to them about it. You know, I think an understanding of how it is, but it'd probably be better to hear it straight from them instead of from me. And I will say this is something that I've actually gotten people telling me later on that I did that and that it was something that they really appreciated. And it was actually not even about partners specifically, but about Emily and Dedeker when we were at events talking about, you know, polyamory stuff as multi-amory, and that people might ask questions about, like, well, what about them? What are these things for them? And I would say, oh, you should probably go ask them about that. I'm sure they'd be happy to tell you. And that I got feedback from someone else later. They're like, when you did that, I was like, wow, that's such a cool thing that you didn't like try to speak for them. And I think this will also kind of like asking for consent and other things really shows that you kind of get the fact that even though you might be in a relationship with someone, you don't speak for them and that they are their own individual person with their own thoughts and feelings.
Definitely, definitely. And to piggyback off that, if you run into a couple or someone who says that they're a couple, whatever that means, if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, you know, life partner, roommates even, mm-hmm. don't assume that a couple can speak for each other. And also, same thing, if you're half of a couple, don't assume that you can speak for your partner, like we were just saying. Evaluate what each partner says to you separately. I feel like what I hear happen the most often is like the typical... This is going to sound really negative, but I feel like it's like the typical unicorn hunter pickup line is for the guy to go up to a lady and be like, hey, my wife thinks you're really hot. And maybe that's true. Maybe the wife has expressed, I think this person's really hot and I feel too, you know, scared to go up and talk to them. So why don't you go talk to them? Like, that's great. Sure. Like, maybe a little bit funny or whatever. But always just like take it with a grain of salt. Talk to people directly. Always verify things directly. Don't assume that two people are on the same page just because they happen to be in a relationship together, because a lot of relationships is not being on the same page, I've found.
Well, and I want to say that I've actually had personal experience with this, not even with something as major as, like, you know, someone really misrepresenting their partner, like saying that they're polyamorous, and then you find out later actually the other partner wasn't quite so okay with that. But even just on a smaller scale, just about kind of like if I'm hanging out with a couple in terms of like what we want to do tonight. What, you know, like whether that's, you know, do we want to all make out, or if that's like, do we want to hang out later or go to another place, or do we just want to go home and go to bed, right? Whatever it is, that I've definitely made the mistake of like one part of that couple would say something and the other part of that couple would say something, and that in my head I was putting those together into one message. and only later realizing that I'd completely missed what one person was trying to say, because I was assuming that what both of them were saying were coming from the same mind. Instead of going, wait a minute, I'm getting different signals from each of these, instead of thinking that I heard this, but then I heard this from the other person, so they must have changed their mind. Does that make sense? And I feel like that's kind of difficult to explain, but like, don't assume that couples have a hive mind with each other, because they don't.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. As far as social interaction goes, I think all of us can take ownership of a little bit of social awkwardness. To yeah. any extent, some of us are extremely social awkward. Some of us are just a little bit social awkward. But everyone has like a tiny little bit of social awkwardness, of like that weird anxiety that comes up of like meeting new people, especially if this is your first time going to any kind of meetup like this and not knowing what to expect. And again, it can be hard to figure out what's the social script. What do we talk about at this polyamory meetup? Do we only talk about polyamory? Do we only talk about our relationship landscapes or our orientation or whatever? You know, what else do we talk about? So, I mean, we can't do an entire episode on like just how to have conversations with people. That's another thing, that there's actually a lot of good resources out there for.
There's also a lot of bad resources.
Well, there are some bad resources, but there are also some good resources for if you're, you know, the kind of person who has trouble striking up conversation in social mm-hmm. situations. Generally, some things to avoid. A good strategy is just to avoid complimenting people on their physical appearance. Just to avoid making people uncomfortable. You may be thinking that maybe you have no intention of being sexual, no intention of being creepy, no intention of flirting, and you just want to compliment someone on how good that jacket looks on them. But to that person, they feel like, especially if they've been getting that all day, every day from like the men that they work with or whatever, that it may just get received in a way that you really didn't intend. So it's best to just kind of avoid that in the meetup situation. There's plenty of opportunities to do that if you get to know someone a little bit better or as you get more intimate with someone, but it's just a good rule of thumb to avoid giving an impression that you're creepy, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have a slightly different opinion about that, where I would say the compliment of like, oh, that's a really cool jacket, actually is a good alternative.
Oh, really?
What I think is like, what is just really should be avoided all the time is just like, you're so cute,
or like, oh, you're so
pretty, or
oh,
like,
that makes sense.
Hey,
that makes
hey
sense.
Handsome.
If you're like, oh, those are cool earrings versus like,
right. Like
you're complimenting. You got a really pretty jawline.
Right. And so I would say it's like I originally wanted to say, you know, if it's specific about a certain thing, like, oh, that's a cool, oh, those are really cool boots that you have, or those are neat shoes, or I love the color of your hat, whatever it is. But then I'm like, but things like eyes and smiles, no, don't, just don't, because it's too cliche. It's like there's this association with the sort of like old school sort of pickup-iness to it. And it's just not a good look, to quote the McElroys. It's just not a good look. So just don't do it. Find better things to talk about. You're better than that. So be better.
Compliment them on like something particularly moving that they said during the discussion, because that also demonstrates that you were actually freaking listening and paying attention.
That is actually a great conversation starter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
To say, oh, you mentioned this thing during the discussion and go from there.
Right. Right.
So on the other side, in terms of taking care of yourself, something that I realized was really important, and I've talked with a few people about this actually, that this is a pretty big one, and this is to be gentle with yourself and prepare to be challenged. This has a lot of different meanings, but basically, especially when you're new to this community, new to a sex positive community, but even just newly exploring non-monogamy yourself, you almost certainly will come up against some things that you might have strong reactions to, right? This could be something like the first time seeing your partner flirting with somebody else, or right, something like that could be, you might have a very visceral reaction to that. Or something that actually comes up, I've seen, is at a polyamory meetup, because they tend to be very open and accepting and kink friendly and stuff like that. You might be doing introductions going around, and someone might say, you know, this is my slave. I speak for her. You can't speak to her without my permission. Because that's their role that they have. And for them, that might be totally cool and fun. I mean, it probably is. That's something that they enjoy doing so much that they want to speak about it publicly in this group. It's very possible that for you, that could actually make you very upset to hear it, because that might activate something for you that is troubling or upsetting. You know, it could be someone where, you know, they refer to each other as like daddy and little girl or something. And that for you could be really upsetting and could activate something for you. Is just to kind of go in and be aware those things might happen, and to just be gentle with yourself and respect that other people's worldviews might be different from yours.
I feel like that kind of stuff, that might be something that's more likely to come up at something like a munch, for instance. For those of you who don't know, a munch being like on FetLife, they have, you know, social meetups that may be sexual or non-sexual in nature that are referred to as munches.
Yeah, basically it's for the kink community. It's like a non-sexual social event. It's generally referred to as a munch.
So I feel like those are the events where you may hear people being very open about like, oh, this is my daddy, or this is my little girl, or this is my puppy, or you know, whatever.
But I'm actually bringing this up though, because I've seen this happen at polyamory events.
Oh, I see.
And I've talked to people who've been upset hearing it. And fortunately in this instance, they were able to then reflect on it afterward and go, huh. And you know, since then they're more comfortable understanding that different people have different worldviews and approach that differently. But that very first time being confronted with it, especially you think you're going to a polyamory meetup to discuss relationships, I don't want you to be blindsided by that. That's why I bring it up. And it could look a number of different ways, but just be aware of that, you know?
And again, if something uncomfortable arises, you know, maybe it is the first time that you're seeing your partner flirt with someone else. You know, if you've brought a partner to a mixer and you're seeing that, or your ex-partner walks into the polyamory meetup. You know, I've definitely had a lot of friends and clients who've experienced that. It's totally okay to take care of yourself. It's okay to just like take a break, excuse yourself, go get some air, go to the bathroom, like go somewhere where you can reset rather than just trying to grit your teeth and make it through this meetup and just trying to keep it together. Or maybe you don't keep it together and then there's a big dramatic falling out at the meetup. If you need to step out, or if you need to just straight up leave, like that's fine too. You don't need to beat yourself up. You don't need to explain yourself to anybody. It's okay to totally take care of yourself in a situation like this.
Yeah. And with that, shall we move on to...
Are we done with second semester?
We're done with second semester.
Okay. I guess it's trimester, huh?
Final trimester of finishing school. And this trimester is all about having fun. Having party times. Well, okay. Having fun. Whatever fun looks like for you. So these...
Yeah,
ones,
I guess... I mean, when we go through this big list of like, don't do that, don't do this,
right?
You know, use the shrimp fork, not the salad fork. You can get really caught up in like, oh gosh, I'm like scared I'm going to trot on somebody's toes or like have a bad time or someone's going to kick me out or whatever. But ultimately, you know, you go to these events to have fun and to connect with people and to have a good time, to have a positive time rather than a negative time, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think that going along with that, that really, if you go in with a mindset of, you know, I want to learn about this community and find out how I might be able to fit into this community and how I might be able to be a benefit to this community, rather than going in saying, what can I get out of this? Just starting from that mindset is going to get you a long way, and we'll probably end up achieving what following all of these rules would as well. Our hope is just to make that transition a little bit easier here. But in the spirit of that, if you go into any kind of a polyamory, especially if it's more of a social thing and not just a discussion group, but regardless, is to go in with the intention of making friends and not finding dates. And the funny thing about this one is that going in with the intention of just, I want to meet people who do this, I want to hear what their stories are, I want to know what their deal is, find out what they're into, making those friends will end up getting you more dates and relationships, not only in the long run, but probably even in the short term right then going in seeking dates. But it's I can't stress enough how important that is, of just going in to meet people and make friends, because it might not even be someone at that or someones. It might not even be all these people at the meetup group that you end up dating, but it could be their friends that they say, oh, you're also into, you know, air hockey. I have a friend who's also polyamorous who loves air hockey. You know, they're in a competitive league. You should talk to them about joining their competitive air hockey league. I don't know where I came up with that example. Mm-hmm. Do those exist? They must, right?
Oh, they have to. I'm sure they do. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So yeah, competitive air hockey leagues. Right. But just going in making friends is going to make it much more likely that people are excited for you to come back to this. They're like, oh, that's Dedeker. She's so cool. Like, you know, she talked with all of us. She was really nice. And people who didn't meet you will hear, oh, yeah, she was really cool. We just talked and it wasn't weird at all. She wasn't trying to hit on me. You know what I mean? That this, not only in the short term, but also the long term, is really going to serve you well.
And I know that as you're an adult, it's hard to make friends. Like, I totally get it. Yeah. So you also don't need to put a bunch of pressure on yourself of like, I got to make a friend tonight. It just means something simple like talk to people that you're not attracted to. or avoid talking only to people that you're attracted to and are hoping to sleep with or go on a date with.
Right.
Talk to people who are of the gender expression or identity that you are not normally attracted to. So as in, if you are heterosexual, if you're a heterosexual man, talk to other heterosexual men or non-heterosexual. Just talk to other men, you know, don't just go talk to all the ladies and avoid all the guys. You know, talk to people that are older than you think that you'd normally make friends with or even date, or younger or whatever, you know, just go in and just, like, you got nothing to lose, really. If you're already dedicating your time to being at this meetup, like, that's your evening. And just enjoy it for what it's worth. It's like Jay says, it is going to work out better for you in the long run for being able to connect to community rather than treating it like a meat market, essentially, which is often how we see people get asked to not come back to a meetup.
Yes, and like Dedeker was saying, it's not like you have to go in with this pressure to make best friends or people you're going to hang out with after this, but just, you know, be polite. I guess make friendly people, not even, you know, you don't even have to put the pressure on of like making, oh my gosh, they have to become my friend outside of this. But just be nice to people, have conversations with people, and you're going to have a way better time. I definitely had a period of time where I went to any kind of polyamory event being like, I really hope I find someone to date or to sleep with or to express interest in me or something. And that as soon as I was able to make that switch to just being like, you know, especially when I was going to an event by myself, not with partners, I being able to go to that and say, whatever, I'm just here to talk to people. Maybe I'll set a little game for myself. Like, I want to hear, you know, five different people's poly origin stories during the night, or right, just something to kind of give you something to keep you occupied. I've had so much more fun and made so many cool connections and made really good friends at events like that, that I wouldn't have made if I was going in just looking for dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as having those conversations with people, you know, again, it doesn't have to be all about their relationship background or history or origin story. Just ask open-ended questions, show interest, talk about maybe the things they brought up during the discussion group. Just, you know, these are like basics of just being a good conversationalist, essentially. And this is going to lead into the next one, that if you're introducing someone, so as in maybe you brought a partner, you brought a friend, and you're bringing them into the conversation, or you're introducing them to someone else, open up with saying something awesome about them. So as in, you know, not going, oh, this is Jace, he's a VFX artist or a podcaster, or this is Jace, he's single. you know, say, this is Jace, and now that I'm on the spot, I can't think of anything awesome about Jace. No.
Jeez. Terrible.
This is Jace. He's also in the middle of doing Inktober right now. This is in the future when it's October again and you're doing Inktober again. Or, you know, recently I think I introduced two people where it was like, oh, this is my friend so-and-so. They're thinking about opening a restaurant soon. And just having like an awesome thing to say, that's a great way to kickstart the conversation, to help your friend immediately feel welcome and like there's something to say and that they're not just going to be like, you know, the wallflower in this conversation. And it's just, you know, create some good vibes.
Totally. And I also want to say about the open-ended questions thing is that it's better to ask an open question, kind of like the ones we mentioned earlier. Like if you do want to talk about polyamory, of, you know, what's your, how would you describe your relationship orientation or something like that, rather than guessing for them in asking the question. Does that make sense? Like going in and being like, so, you know, I saw you talking to these people, are you polyamorous? Or like, oh, so are you gay too? Right. But instead asking the questions, and rather than starting with an assumption, you're going to get more interesting answers that way.
Yeah, definitely. And along that same line, if this is, you know, if you're going to some kind of community meetup and you're just learning about non-monogamy or polyamory, you're trying to figure out, is this right for you? Get multiple opinions from multiple people on the very, you know, the variety of different ways that people do it. Mm-hmm. And make your own decisions about that. Every time I go to a discussion group, it always just amazes me, like, wow, people do this so many different ways. As soon as I think that I've seen everything, someone shows up and is like, wow, I've never seen that before. That's crazy. And I mean, mm-hmm. that's awesome and unique and beautiful. And I love it. There's people doing it all kinds of ways. Not all of them are right. Not all of them are healthy. Not all of them are going to jive with you, but some of them may. And so, you know, again, whatever anybody says to you, if anybody's trying to insist that the way they do their relationship is the right way, take that with a grain of salt. And just, again, that's another good game to have at a polyamory meetup, like you were saying about getting everyone's origin story, or just kind of see what are the, you know, how many different stories can I get from people about what their relationship landscape is, or about what their practice of polyamory or non-monogamy is. And from there, you can kind of see like what seems cool, what seems not cool, who seems to struggle with it, who seems to really enjoy it. And you're just going to continue to deepen your education, which is going to help you have a better sense of what are the options available to you moving forward.
Yeah, and like help you explore and decide on your own values and your own boundaries and things like that. That say that you're someone who, maybe you're here listening to our podcast today because you had never heard of polyamory before. Maybe you were sort of familiar with it, but you met someone you liked and they're polyamorous, and you said, okay, I'm going to give this a try because I want to date this person. And they said, you should listen to Multiamory and then come to a discussion group with me. That in that case is a great example of, just because this person you're dating's been polyamorous before they met you doesn't mean that they know everything about it. It doesn't mean that they do everything about it perfectly. It just means it's something they've decided they want to keep pursuing, right? It's like imagining that you start dating someone in your monogamous life and assuming that everything that they say about how dating should go is the way that it goes, right? That would be an absurd thing to think. But I think people will often do this with polyamory. I've definitely dated people who are new to it, where they ask me a lot of questions as if I have the definitive answer to it, as if there's kind of a one set way that works. And the truth is there's not. And I'm always learning, and that's what we talk about on this show. Mm-hmm. And then finally, if I can bring it home here.
Do it.
Our last one is, if you're going to an event that has drinking at it and you are someone who drinks alcohol, just keep it to a minimum. If you need to find a way to kind of measure that to keep yourself to a minimum, do it. Don't just trust that you're not going to drink too much. And I understand drinking can help with social lubrication, can make you less anxious to talk to people. I get it. I definitely, that if I'm going to be in a social situation, I would like to be drinking. That definitely helps me deal with it. But I've seen so many people, so many good friends of mine who will be at some kind of an event. They'll have a couple drinks early in the night and they'll be getting along great. And they're like, wow, this event is awesome. People are really liking me. I've connected with all these people. This person asked me to go do this event that they do with this other social group, all this stuff. And then another couple hours of the event go by and they end up drinking too much, either becoming too pushy or just being a little too sloppy or too loud or too vulgar or like something. And then later in that week is the awkward, like, the other person comes up with this excuse to like uninvite them to the event that they asked them to come to. No, like literally, this is true story that I've seen many times. This isn't just like a one-off story. So just, you know, especially when you feel like I'm doing great, don't celebrate that with more drinks. just, you know, keep it to a minimum. And that's my story.
Yeah. I don't know what the, I don't know. Do you think they cover that in actual finishing school? But how much a lady is supposed to drink?
Gosh, I don't know.
That's because that feels like something that they would cover to make sure that you're like not a sloppy lady, you know?
Yeah, there's probably a very specific number and over timing and a
maybe.
Way and a way that you take sips to take sips the least
so that
amount
it's tiny, like yeah, yeah, a tiny sip, yeah, probably right. Something like that, yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Actually, I bet it's something along the lines of like always keeping your glass, you know, 3/4 of the way full. Of like drink it to there, but then just like have it with you, but don't
right,
drink more
right,
of it.
Don't
right,
ever,
like,
don't ever finish it. Don't ever down it. Maybe that's
yeah. Yeah, or just never finish it at all.
Never finish it. Yeah, you know, yeah, that's a good one. So that was great. We got through finishing school. We're so fancy now, and we're ready to get a husband.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I feel like that's the metaphor doesn't work perfectly.
I just feel like I do need to acknowledge that we are aware of the various like sexist and disempowering origins of finishing schools.
Certainly, yes. I was just reading a book by Emily Post recently, and it was actually kind of horrifying, some of the stuff in that book. So. But hopefully you were able to take this all in good fun like we were and got some good tips out of this. And we look forward to hearing about your experiences that you had at these meetups and your introduction to the polyamory community or things that you're like, oh my gosh, yes, I wish I had known that. I'm going to send this to all of my friends who are new to polyamory.
So if you would like to have your question or your comment played on the show, you can call 678-MULTI-05. You can leave us a voicemail there, or you can send us an audio message at the Multiamory Facebook page. You can also email us at info@multiamory.com, or you can send us a message on Twitter, on Facebook, or on Instagram. To support our show and to join our private Facebook community, go to patreon.com/multiamory. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Emily Matlack, and me, Dedeker Winston. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.